And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Hey there, Wonderlings. Yes, that's right. It's me, Angela Bowen, the host of Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. Today is my birthday. That's right. I turned the big 3-5. I had a great day today. I got a massage in the morning. I went to Grand Rapids in the afternoon. I went to Schuler's Books. I bought a book, a bookmark, and 4 refrigerator magnets, which I like to collect them. When I got home, I picked up some Edie's Texas Pecan Pie ice cream, which I thought was very good. Then I went home. I ordered some pizzas for dinner from Habs. I got Jeremy a porky pie pizza, which is basically an all-meaty pizza. And then for myself, I got the Irishman pizza, which is a corned beef Reuben pizza, which I got minus the sauerkraut, because I'm not a huge fan of sauerkraut, so... For my birthday, I got some money to use on stuff I want to get. I got from Jeremy a Barnes & Noble gift card, and I also got the complete series on DVD of Home Improvement. I also got the Blu-ray of Everything Everything and 5 adult fiction books. I also ordered the first season DVDs of Silver Spoons, Who's the Boss, and My Two Dads. I've never seen My Two Dads before, so that I think that'll be cool. I got them really cheap on Amazon, so that's pretty awesome. Last weekend, I watched the movie Boss Baby, finally. I think I had that for a couple weeks. I'm like, okay, I need to watch this movie. So I watched it, and I loved it. So much, in fact, that I went out and bought the Boss Baby Funko Pops. There was only 2 of them, so. Alright, let's get right into this episode of The Wonder Years, Season 2, Episode 15, Square Dance, which aired on May 2nd, 1989. In this episode, the gym class is engaging in square dancing, and Kevin is paired up with Margaret Farquaad, the strangest girl in 7th grade. While Margaret enjoys spending time with Kevin, her presence makes Kevin wary of his junior high image. The episode begins on a close-up shot of the 1969 Robert F. Kennedy Junior High yearbook. We see hands that don't look like Kevin's. They look like man hands. So I'm guessing this is adult Kevin in the future flipping through his old high school or junior high yearbook. The camera pans over the faces of the kids in the yearbook as adult Kevin reminisces, talking about wondering what happened to some students. Like, I think one of them might have been Randy Mitchell, I think. Whether he became a dentist. Then we move on to Becky Slater, Kevin's ex, who he thinks maybe became a divorce lawyer. You know, I wouldn't be surprised there. I mean, you know, she was pretty tarnished after Kevin dumped her. And a picture of a bespectacled girl with 3 braids. People are calling them pigtails. They could be pigtails. They look like braids to me. She's got like a main, you know, regular braid in the back, and then she's got one on either side of her head, which one is kind of higher up than the other, so it looks a little odd. The camera stops on her picture as Kevin mentions how there are some people you hope to never think of again. The camera also stops on his crush, Miss White, his English teacher, who he wonders if she ever thinks of him. You know what? I'm pretty sure she thinks of only 2 men in her life. Her husband, and later on, I believe she gives birth to a little boy. So those are the only 2 men in her life I'm sure she ever really thinks about. So I'm like, yikes, Kevin. Just yikes. You're an adult man. I noticed the yearbook is set up like my dad's old yearbook with the names of the students on the side. My high school yearbooks had people's names underneath their pictures, although in elementary school, I believe the names were on the side and you had to scan the pictures and count the number of names to get to the person, or at least I did. If I'm remembering, that's how I, when I looked at them, what I had to do. Alright, then we hear a whistle blow, so that tells me they're in gym class, or PE, as Coach Cutlip likes to call it. He tells the boys to form two lines. He explains to them that they'll be studying Unit 7 in the Educational Handbook. And he goes over to the chalkboard and flips it over, and we see Square Dancing Unit 7 with the steps written out in a diagram form. All the boys groan and call out in disgust. Square dancing? That's not gym related. What happened to dodgeball? Well, they're not really saying this. You know, what happened to dodgeball or basketball or floor hockey? Did they play floor hockey in the late 60s in gym? They did when I was in high school. I was crazy when I played that. Banging into people. I don't think I scored a goal, but I was pretty competitive. The only thing I actually tried at NPE was that. Cudlip confirms square dancing. What is it and what can it do for you? I can't really think of anything I really can do for you. Paul turns to Kevin asking, is this dorky or what? Definitely dorky, Kevin confirms. Kevin just rolls his eyes, but then he turns his head and sees the double doors opening and the lady gym teacher comes out with the female students. My gym class was always co-ed, and I was in middle school or junior high in the middle 90s. Even high school PE was co-ed at that time. This makes Kevin perk up a little as he grins to himself, pleased by the chance of female interaction. Then we get a close-up shot of the girl's legs. Like, yeah, we know what Kevin and the other guys are thinking. Cutlip clears his throat and tells the class he'll be assigning partners for the week, which is only 5 days, but to a kid, that 5 days probably feels like 5 years. Or 5 weeks. Cutlip calls one boy and one girl to come up and be paired together, and we see a boy who I notice has a big rip in his shirt, like a big hole in his shirt, right in the front, like near his belly button. I'm like, why does he have to have a rip in his shirt? Couldn't wardrobe on the show give him a new shirt? Or is this the only shirt the boys that are in the class get at the beginning of the year and are expected to wear it throughout the school year, whether it rips or not or has stains, etc.? Ugh, that's just gross. That's not how you want to represent a school, kids. Paul turns to Kevin as Cutlip calls out a couple more names to come forward and mentions how he hopes he doesn't end up getting a loser. And I'm over here like, Paul, you're one to talk. No, he's not a loser, but the Paul nice meter just dropped a couple notches with that comment from him. I know what you mean, Kevin tells him. Cutlip calls Paul over and a girl with the last name Gumbowski, and Paul thrusts his fist in victory, but the girl just rolls her eyes like, oh no, I got the dud, like Milhouse from The Simpsons, even though Milhouse did not exist in 1969. Paul practically runs up there grinning ear to ear as he is placed beside her. Are they on display? They're not dolls, and the lady PE teacher is putting them side by side like they're Barbies on display or window display models in a store window. Cutlip calls Kevin and he scans the list and lands on Margaret Farquaad. It's like he's like Arnold and Margaret Farquaad. It's like, we'll put you with her. Okay. I mean, the kids, they're not being grouped. They're not being paired by size or anything, because we got kids that are like inches taller than another child and stuff like that. So it's like they're not going alphabetically, they're not going by height, so I don't know, they just randomly pick two names. So then we see this bespectacled girl with three braids in her hair, one on each side and one in the back. I notice the girls have white button-down tops and skirts while the boys have t-shirts. That's gotta be so uncomfortable for the girls. You can't move all that well in a skirt. At least when I was in gym in junior high and high school, you could wear what you wanted. So give me a t-shirt and shorts any day over a button-up top and a skirt in gym class. What is the girls' gym class like? Do they follow a different curriculum than the boys? I mean, I can't see them playing basketball or dodgeball or whatever the guys do. I'm going to play Margaret's intro because this girl is so awesome. She wastes no time asking a million questions to Coach Cutlip, whereas the boys probably wouldn't have dared. She don't give no fucks. All right. I'll be right back.
Arnold!
Here we go. Lucky, lucky, lucky.
And Farquhar.
And suddenly, my life was over. I'd just been partnered with Margaret Farquhar, the flagship for seventh grade weirdness. Some people marched to the beat of a different drummer. Margaret had her own percussion section.
Yes?
Are we gonna do-si-do?
We'll get to that. Yes?
Why is it called do-si-do?
Because that's what it's called. Arnold?
Is that clockwise or the other way around?
Did I ask for questions? I always ask for questions.
That was Margaret. She could get on the nerves of any teacher, including Gandhi.
Arnold, step to the center now.
Go get him, Tiger.
So I decided to find out what do-si-do means in square dancing, and here's Wikipedia's answer. The term is a corruption of the original French term which means back-to-back as opposed to something vis-a-vis, which means face-to-face. It is probably the most well-known call in square dancing aside from perhaps promenade. All right, right away in the next scene, we see Kevin getting shit from his gym mates, or classmates, whatever the hell you want to call them, as he heads down the steps to his locker, saying how happy he looked with Farquhar, and to remember to scrub behind his ears to watch for cooties. Cooties, really? How old are these boys again? 13? Are you sure they're not 6? Because they're fucking acting like it. Kevin quickly turns this on its head, but by telling them maybe he'll be sick this week and one of them will have to dance with her. They're all like, oh, keep this boy healthy, as they laugh and walk away. Did kids say duh a lot in the 60s? I thought that was an 80s or 90s thing, because I remember a lot of us kids saying that when we were young, like duh, or other crap like that. But now that what was that other one? It was like, not, duh, or something. But now that I think about it, I remember a teenage boy saying it in the movie Andre, which was set in the 60s as well. Or maybe it's a doy. Anyway, unfortunately, the razzing continues that night that had dinner that night with Wayne, saying how he heard Kevin's in love and how he really, really wants her and how an hour a day must not be enough, huh? Kevin tells him to shut up, and Karen walks in asking, shut up about what? Kevin tells her Kevin was square. Why did they have to give these kids similar names? Wayne is the only one with a different name. He tells her Kevin was square dancing in gym today. Now, how does he know? See, this is what I was like. How does he know that? Does he get a friend on the inside who's in Kevin's grade who told him? I like to know how the conversation went on the bus went. But then later on, I'm like, oh, that's right. In the pilot episode, Wayne is, he's in high school too, and they share the same lunchtime, because later on during this episode, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Wayne does share lunchtime with Kevin because he's over at another table, like, gawking at him. Jack even questions this, asking what kind of sport is square dancing. Excuse me, I've been drinking my pop, so. There we go again. I think it's a good idea. I think we did that in elementary school. We weren't assigned partners, we just kind of jumped into it. And just kind of all, like, worked together, joined hands, separated, whatever the hell you do in square dancing. Jackson asks why they don't teach wrestling anymore. And PE, I don't know about that. That's its own sport. Plus, in Season 3, Episode 13, She, My Friend, and I, which aired on February 6th, 1990, Kevin and Paul will get into a little scuffle while wrestling in PE. So it does happen, just not till Season 3. And then, in Season 6, Episode 15, Hulk Arnold, Kevin joins the wrestling team after showing talent in gym. So, wrestling is shown on the show twice. Norma tells Jack that she thinks it teaches good eye-hand-foot coordination. You know, when I was taking notes, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much what I was thinking, too. And it allows you to learn to work with others. And kind of, you're basically looking at other people and kind of looking for cues. Or if you're taking commands from the instructor, you're still working with the other kids. So it's not just hand, eye, and foot coordination. It's you're working as partners with other people. So you can all sync up with each other. When she says this, the expression on Jack's face is so comical, like, huh, that makes no sense. Wayne continues to goad Kevin about who he got for a partner. He tells him, just some girl. Well, Kevin, come on, tell us, Norma asks, interested. I mean, Norma doesn't really seem to have a life outside of the house, so of course any kind of outside interaction her kids have is mainly all the entertainment she can get. Kevin mumbles Margaret's name with a mouthful of food, and Wayne asks him to what was that? But Karen got it right away. She's like, Margaret Farquaad? Trudy Farquaad's, how the hell do you say her name? Farquaad? I think it's Farquaad. Oh, hell, I don't know. Her sister. So I'm guessing Trudy goes to high school with Karen. And the word different, because Karen's like, she's a little different. Like, she's not mentally challenged. I mean, or different. I don't know how she means. Like, just awkward looking? Awkward acting? I mean, how would Karen even know? Because she doesn't even go to middle school. She's in high school. So unless she's friends with Trudy and they talk about her sister, maybe Trudy thinks her sister's a bit of an odd one, too. I don't know. At the word different, Jack stops cutting his food and looks at Karen like he doesn't know what to make of the word. Wayne laughs and says, are you kidding? She's a joke, a gleep, and jokingly apologizes. Sorry, Kev. Kevin just shrugs it off like, hey, I didn't pick her. Besides, first thing tomorrow, I'm going to dump her. Kevin, you can't do that. Kevin picked her as your partner and you're stuck with her, so you're going to have to deal with it. Norma rightly scolds Kevin, telling him, you know, that's not very nice. And asking, you wouldn't really do that, would you? Norma tells him just because Margaret's different doesn't mean he can't be nice to her. Which is true. We've all, I'm sure, gotten stuck with a partner or put in a group with someone who either we didn't know very well or thought a little of. But you know what? You deal with it. That's just life. You know, people can surprise you. You just gotta get to, you know them a little. Don't just take them at face value and reject them right away. Kevin tells his mom, Margaret's just not popular. She's just not popular. And I'm like, whoa, since when do you always have to hang with the popular crowd? So basically he's saying because she's not quote-unquote popular, she's not worth having anything to do with. I'm not going to flat out say this right now. Or I am actually going to flat out say this right now. I am really hating Kevin this episode. I hate to say the word hate. But I'm really feeling that this episode with Kevin. I'm sorry, I apologize in advance. I'm going to figuratively shit all over Kevin. I'm going to be angry at him. I'm just going to let it all out because this episode means a lot to me. Because in a way, I kind of was like a Margaret Farquaad. Farquaad. Oh my goodness. I don't know. I'm thinking of that small guy from Shrek who was going to marry what the hell was her name? Fiona? Yeah. So I keep thinking Farquaad, but it's Farquaad. Because there's an R at the end. So I'll try to remember that as I'm saying her name. Or maybe I should just call her Margaret. Why don't they call her Maggie? Maggie is such a... I mean, Margaret's a nice name, but what about Maggie? Does anyone call her Maggie? You know, and here's another thing. Kevin's not exactly Mr. Popular himself, so who is he to judge? Kevin needs to get some balls and stand up to his friends, but he's too much of a coward and a pussy to do so, junior high or not. Would someone like Margaret be accepted by today's kids, or would she be shunned, teased, and ridiculed for being different? Now, this is junior high. I kind of wonder as far as high school goes. Maybe she would, you know, because everyone's, I wonder if people are a little more accepting of people having their own different styles or different taste of how they do things. You know, that's, you know, the whole term of geek, that chic geek, you know, nerds and everything, they used to be teased, but no, now it's just, it's cool to be, you know, be yourself. I think it's cool, you know. Anyway, let's continue on with this episode. Norma looks at Kevin with concern and tells him, you know, I expect more than you from you than that. It's like, really, you know, I didn't raise my kid to be an asshole to people. You know, she raised him to hope that he would be making, you know, yes, I understand he's a teenager, but, you know, and I know their minds aren't fully developed and everything like that, but you need to, he needs to be able to have the gall to be able to respect the person. You don't have to flat out like them if there's something wrong, fine. You don't have to like everybody, but at least be respectful. Alright, now we're in PE class the next day, and it looks like all the kids, they are all smiling, they're having a good time. Heck, even Heidi, Paul's partner, is smiling and having fun. The only one not is Kevin, looking like an uncomfortable goon. While square dancing, one boy starts razzing Kevin about dancing. Like, in the middle, they're all dancing, and he's like, hey, looks like you're in love. And then Kevin's almost like, are you kidding? She makes me want it. And then he stops himself because we hear Norma's voice in his head telling him, you know, I expect more than you from you than that. As Kevin's walking through the hall to class, or from the bathroom, I don't know which, he passes Margaret, who tells him, she's like, hi, Kevin. And then he's walking past and she's like, oh, I'm standing in the hall. Kind of like, okay, I know you're not just going to pass me and not say hi, buddy. Like, I am going to acknowledge my presence is here. So get your fanny over here and say hey. Kevin stops and turns around, walking over to her, and she explains that her teacher sent her out into the hall because she asked too many questions. Okay, hold on. I gotta get my power cord because my battery is, pooping out. Kevin stops and turns around, walking over to her, and she explains that her teacher sent her out into the hall because she asked too many questions. So I take it she's kind of disrupting the class or interrupting the teacher by asking too many questions. Maybe she should, you know, save her questions till the end of class. I mean, this is all pre-internet and everything. So the only way she'd be able to really answer her questions is like maybe look them up in an encyclopedia in the library, maybe? I don't know. I think that she would have a blast going to like some college classes and just, you know, intellectuals and stuff like that, that people that have the same interests as her. That's what she needs to be around. She needs to not be around these fuddy-duddy kids. She needs to be around, you know, similar intellectuals that have the same interests as her. I think that's what she's just like. She's like, I have all these questions, but no one who will take the time to answer them or to hear me out. So, I don't know. She asked Kevin if he was in the bathroom. She tells him she has to go a lot too when she has too much water in the morning. That's an overshare. yeah, you know, a lot of people got to go to the bathroom in the morning. That's probably the first thing you do is you go to the bathroom when you wake up, after you wake up. And doubly so, you know, when you're drinking a lot of water, it's like me, you know, I work in a factory type setting and it's hot, you know. During summer, you're drinking water all the time. You're having to go to the bathroom. So, I don't know. She just picks the interesting things to ask. It's like the observations. Like, oh, you were in the bathroom, huh? Okay, cool. It's like, she doesn't want him to leave. Like, I need social interaction. She then asks him if he likes bats, because she has a fruit bat, and asks if he likes the name Mortimer. All this time, Kevin's thinking, all right, this girl's kind of weird. I'm sure it was uncommon in the late 60s to have a bat as a pet. I hope he doesn't have rabies. Did she raise him from a baby, I wonder? He tells her he has to get to class as he tries to beat it out of there, and she asks him, what class? And he tells her he has to go. I gotta go. And then he decides in his mind to never go to the boys' bathroom alone. In the cafeteria, Paul rattles on how Heidi, his square dance partner, wore perfume, the kind he was allergic to. And when he sneezed, she said, Gesundheit, instead of bless you. And he was thrilled. She spoke to him in German, like, oh, she could have said bless you, but she gave it to me in German. Okay, cool, I guess. Whatever floats your boat there, Polly. Kevin tells him, you're an animal, Paul. And Paul zips off to get an ice cream sandwich. He's like, all right, I got to keep up that strength. I'm going to get an ice cream sandwich. Yum. I never had an ice cream sandwich in school. These kids get the coolest stuff. Kevin sits down at a lunch table and suddenly Margaret plops down. She like, boom. It's like he looks. No one's there. And the next time he turns his head, boom. She's like, plops right down. Like, all right, cool. Seat's open. I'm going to chill with Kevin here. But I'm like, was Paul going to sit there? If so, I would say, oh, no, Margaret, I'm sorry, my friend. He's going to sit there. He'll be right back. Kevin's sitting there is freaking out. Like, oh, my God, people, they're watching. Oh, my gosh. He's freaking out. Public humiliation as Margaret asks if he likes jelly because, you know, she's got a bag lunch. So I'm like, oh, jelly, maybe she's got a PB&J sandwich. Then the camera shoots over to Wayne. And I'm like, all right, so they do go to the same school. They have the same lunchtime. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he's still in 7th grade in season 2. And Kevin was in his lunch period in the pilot. So that clears up the dinner conversation. All the while, Kevin's telling her, you can't sit here. These seats are saved. Someone's going to sit here. Kevin's already telling her about, or Marwa's already telling him about how she almost fell down during square dancing in gym and asked if he noticed. She tells him how she fell down a lot during ice skating, but she kept getting back up and tells him, you just have to get up, tell yourself to get up and get back on that horse and ride. Okay, that's an interesting saying. I think I've heard that one. I remember the one time I went ice skating on a man-made pond in the country. I fell down so much and I was laughing so hard I couldn't get back up. It's like my dad was like, come on, get up, get up, get up. And I'm thinking, the skates I was using were like really big, like bigger, they're like my sister's skates, who's old, like 6 years older than I am. So I think I doubled up on socks just to try to make them fit. As soon as I like get pulled up back on my feet again, boom, I like fall right on my ass. So Norma's voice rings out in Kevin's head, and Wayne points in Kevin's direction as we see people turning around and laughing. Man, these kids are starved for something to laugh at. Kevin starts stuffing his face so he can get out of there as Margaret asks him question after question. Does he like ice skating? Where was he born? Where were you born? Do you like the name Mortimer? Do you think that's a good name for a bat? Then Kevin gets up and books it out of the library or the lunchroom, but not before a group of girls, I think Heidi was one of them, asking, are you and Margaret going steady? Now we see more razzing from the boys about Kevin and Margaret being partners. The boys are dressing for gym, so this is the beginning of gym class. Kevin asks Paul, hey, do you think I could dance with Heidi? And Paul basically tells him to fuck off. No way, not on your life. I don't think you can change partners. I really think that Cutlip would be saying, why aren't you with her? I assigned her to you. You need to be with her. The dang week has got to be practically over with anyway. It's just a week. It's 5 damn days. So he basically decides to snub Margaret. What a fucking asshole. I don't give a shit if he's 13 or 73. You do not do that to someone. Annoying or not, you do not do that to somebody. When they're instructed to hold hands, Kevin grabs his wrist saying, oh, I sprained my wrist. If I were her, I'd be calling bullshit and grab his hand anyway. Like, give me your damn hand. There is nothing wrong with you. Or just say, well, you know what? Why don't we let Cutlip know so you can sit this one out and probably get a failing grade since you're so unwilling to cooperate. The next time around, Kevin bends down to fake tie his shoe when he again refuses to take Margaret's hand and participate. And the class ends. She just stands there, arms crossed, clearly annoyed. She knows what he's doing. And anyway, it's like, Kevin, by not doing this, you're failing to basically cooperate and participate. You should get non-participation for that day because of this crap that you're pulling. Everyone else is fine. They don't have a problem. with anything or each other. The next thing we hear is a knock on the door of his house, and then we see Margaret there. He's like, How the hell did you find out where I live, basically? I noticed when Kevin opened the door, he pushed the door open. I don't want any door that you push open from the inside to push outside of your leading outside. I mean, I know it's a set and all, but how about some realism here? Margaret asks him, hey, do you know that you only live 5 streets down and 3 across? How long is that? Is that like a 15-minute walk? This sounds like a 20 to 30-minute walk, depending on... I mean, and she had a shoebox with her little bat inside. So it's not like she was booking it. It's not like she was, like, jogging there. Well, since he doesn't know where she lives, then probably not. And she brought her bat Mortimer. Aww. She asks if he wants to see him because, you know, he's sleeping since bats are nocturnal. Kevin starts to make excuses saying, you can't stay. I have homework. And you can see her face kind of fall as soon as he said, you can't stay. It's like, it's basically saying, I don't want you in my house. When he and it's just, it's so sad. It's just, he's so blunt about it. Norma actually is like, oh, hey, Kevin, who's there, honey? And Kevin, you know, Norma comes in, and right away, she's like, oh, Margaret! I mean, how did she know it was her? Had she seen her before? You should see Margaret's smile here. When Norma comes into the kitchen, I'm like, hello, Margaret! It seems like this is the first time someone has ever been nice to this girl. Right away, Kevin yells, she can't stay, Mom! And I'm like, whoa, Kevin, whoa, just whoa, 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 whoa. I know you're probably tired of me hating on Kevin, but in this episode, that's all I have for Kevin. It's just hate. I can't think of another episode, up to this point anyway, where he has been so cruel to another person. Norma ignores him and invites her to stay for a bit. Look, I'm sure she can stay for a little while. And when she asks Kevin to pull out a chair, it's like you're asking him to do the dishes after Thanksgiving dinner all by himself, because he really just like, fine, here, let me drag this chair out so you can sit, like, damn it. Margaret turns to Norma with her shoebox and tells her her bat is inside, and Norma's hand instantly goes straight to her hair, like, oh, really? You have a bat, okay. Margaret reassures Norma, like, oh, he won't go in your hair unless there's bugs there. I'm like, wait, what? Okay. She then tells Norma how she would have brought Isabel, but her terrarium was too big to carry. And Norma asks, who's Isabel? And Margaret tells her, oh, it's my tarantula. And she asks out, well, I have a lizard too, but he's sick. And that doesn't really make Norma feel any better, though, as she ends up just kind of excusing herself from the kitchen, and as she has a basket of laundry with her. Norma really tried to put up a polite and brave front, all the while eyeing that shoebox like Mortimer was going to jump out of it at her at any second. So Norma makes a quick escape, and then Margaret turns to Kevin like, oh, I guess your mother doesn't like bats. Mm-mm. Not really, Kevin tells her. I don't know many that would. Most people are trying to get bats out of their house, not inviting them in. Margaret tells him her mom isn't really a fan of them either. Wow, I'm surprised that she was even... So who let her have the bat? Was it her dad, maybe? I mean, poor girl's gotta have something, because everyone else is just flat out rejecting her in life, and she needs someone to give her companionship or something. Because that is one poor, sad, lonely girl. Kevin asks her to sit down and they talk for an hour, which is, wow. Even though Kevin thinks, you know, she's weird, he still learns from her about how tarantulas got their name, this crazy dance Tarantella tarantula, and why she has 3 pigtails in her hair, etc. So I kind of want to play this clip because it's sweet, and Kevin's actually learning something from her as they talk. He sees a different side of Margaret, aside from her weirdness. So I will be right back.
So, you want to sit down?
And so I spent an hour with the most unpopular girl in school.
Do you know where the word tarantula comes from?
Huh.
Well, they had this disease in Europe that if you got it, made you jerk around like you were dancing, and they thought it came from spiders.
She was weird, all right. The funny thing is, she was also interesting. In a weird way.
So they named the spider after the dance. Tarantella. Tarantula.
Margaret, can I ask you something? Why do you have 3 pigtails?
Because you never know when you're going to need an extra rubber band.
I'd never met anyone like her. Not that I liked her, you understand. Still.
So your dad was in the army?
We travel a lot. Do you know anyone who's been to 12 schools in 8 years?
That's a lot of schools.
Bats are good travelers. Dogs you have to leave behind.
She tells him that she's been to 12 schools in 8 years, and she's only 13, so then she must have been changing schools, what, maybe twice a year? That's not a lot of stability. No wonder it's hard for her to make friends. I wonder if her family has to move again later on, after, this episode takes place. Maybe he just kind of loses track of her down the road. Kevin's shocked as he tells her, that's a lot of schools, as he offers her an Oreo cookie from a plate. She tells him that bats are good travelers. Dogs you have to leave behind. Aww, she had to leave her dog behind. That's sad. The poor dog. Hopefully they left it with somebody who could take care of the poor thing. Norma comes back into the kitchen and asks if Margaret's staying for dinner. Did I say that right? Norma comes back into the kitchen. Okay. Kevin thinks to himself how funny that would be with Margaret there with his parents. And then he pictures Wayne and he freaks out looking out the kitchen door. And then he tells Margaret, you have to go. You have to go. And she asks, can I have another glass of water? And he's like, here, take this glass. There's a hose up the street around the corner. And Norma's like, Kevin? I'm pretty sure Norma and Jack would keep Wayne in line at the dinner table, making sure he wasn't being rude to her. Jack might even be interested in Margaret's dad's time in the army. She asks if, if Kevin could come, couldn't you come over to my house sometime? And he promises to come over as he shoves her out the door. It's like, hey, you can meet Isabel tonight, or see Mortimer. We hear Wayne come into the kitchen. Did he just get home from school? I mean, I thought he and Kevin rode the bus home together. So how did he not... I mean, Wayne doesn't seem like the type that would be into sports and everything. So I'm like, did he, just get home? Because if he hadn't, if he had been there the whole time, he would have come into the kitchen. We see Kevin walking in the dark to Margaret's house. Her house, I gotta say, is gorgeous. I put a picture of it on Instagram. I took a picture of it. I'm like, this is a beautiful house. I love the slope of the roof and the arch doorway. Like, when you go into it, from what you'll see if you watch the episode, because there's a little, almost like a little foyer type thing. I'm not sure what it's actually called. It's not inside the house. It's outside. Anyway, the overall structure of the house. I bet it would be beautiful in daylight. It's got these criss-crossed hatch type, almost kind of makes me think of the Alps type design kind of thing. So he walks up to knock on her door, and all of a sudden his over-imagination takes over as someone yells from a speakerphone how Kevin Arnold is standing in front of Margaret Farquhar's house. Then they turn on floodlights from a football field. Where this came from, I don't know. Then we see all the boys from his gym class doing doe at him, including the girls from gym class too. An actual helicopter shows up and someone gets on the megaphone as the announcer tells everyone, hey, this is Kevin Arnold. He's at Margaret Farquhar's house. What an overactive imagination you have, Kevin. Kevin snaps back to reality and rings the doorbell, but then he chickens out and we hear Margaret coming to answer the door as he dives over a bush and he books it down the sidewalk. Then we see Margaret stick her head out the door calling out. Like, hello, hello? She must have seen him zipping down the damn sidewalk. Because she asks him about it later on. The next day in school, right away, Paul notices the scratches on Kevin's arm as he asks, you know, what happened? Kevin's like, I don't know. Saying, I have no idea. Paul tells him, well, it looks like you fell in a pricker bush. And Kevin tells him, how do you know I didn't get in a fight with a cat or something? I'm like, a cat? Really? No, you didn't. Paul continues to question Kevin, but Kevin shuts him up, telling him, you know, you need to just let this go and move on. Where are you getting these ideas? Kevin eyes Margaret at the drinking fountain, and she's basically trying to get her braids out of her way so she can actually drink the water without them getting wet. And he tries to stomp out any good feelings she might have had about them being friends, or him being a good guy for that matter. With the whole, we can be secret friends, but nobody can know. You know what? Stephanie Tanner from Full House, I think it was season 2, did the same thing to that duck-faced Walter boy. And I can't even remember the name of the episode, but yeah, she's like, oh, he actually went for it. The whole secret friend, secret boyfriend dealy. He actually bought that crap. So, I want to play this clip. And you can hear how much of a douche Kevin is being. And Margaret has pretty much, she's had enough of his shit. She calls him out on his shit, in fact. It's like, no. What the hell are you talking about? Secret friends? What the hell is that? How can we be friends if we can't talk to each other? You don't want me to talk to you? You don't want to talk to me? Seriously. I would have said, you know what? Bye. I'm done with you. You are not the person I thought you were. I don't even know why I thought you were a decent human being. All right, guys. I'm going to be right back after this clip.
Margaret?
Hi, Kevin. Were you at my house last night? My bell rang. Did you ring my bell?
That's right. Pour on the old guilt, why don't you?
My mother made popcorn.
Margaret, I can't talk to you anymore.
What?
And then I had an idea. A great idea.
Well, you know, I like you, and I think you're really nice. But so we could talk to each other. But not at school. Or at my house. Or in front of anybody. But, you know, we could still be friends, you know. Just no one have to know about it. We'd be, secret friends. Okay?
Zowie, talk about a solution.
Secret friends?
Well, yeah. Kinda.
The funny thing is, I actually believe she jumped at the opportunity.
You didn't want to talk to me?
She wasn't jumping.
Why don't you want to talk to me?
Well, I didn't say I didn't want to talk to you.
You don't want me to talk to you?
See, now she was twisting it all around.
How can you be friends if you don't want to talk to somebody?
Hey, what's going on here?
I don't understand this. What's so awful about talking?
Hey, Arnold.
Looks like honeymoon time.
Hey, Arnold, did you pop the question yet?
Ha ha, very funny.
Hey, Forky, why do they call these things pigtails?
It was horrible. I wanted to tell them to knock it off, leave her alone. And Margaret, I wanted to scream at her. Why did she have to be so weird? Why couldn't she just be normal? I wanted to say something, but I didn't. I couldn't.
Duh.
It was Margaret who did the talking.
I thought you were different.
So even when Kevin comes up to her, he's basically said, you know, I can't talk to you anymore. She laughs at him like, what the hell are you talking about? That's the stupidest thing I've heard in my life. You know, he tells her, you know, I like you and I think you're nice. Her smile is so big when he says that, but then she deflates when he says, but we can't talk to each other at school or at my house or in front of anybody. I'm like, if I were her, I would have said, you know, fuck you, fuck your shit, and fuck off. And I've just walked away. Too bad they didn't have the talk to the hand thing back then, because you probably would have done like, pfft. As she yells at him, why don't you want to talk to me? Why do you not want me to talk to you? How can we be friends without talking? A crowd starts to gather around them, and we see pretty much the same damn boys from gym class that are starting in on Kevin. Again, about, like, oh, looks like it's honeymoon time. Have you popped the question yet? So, damn, boy has the fucking nerve to grab at one of her braids. Like, oh, why do you call this a pigtail or some bullshit like that? She's like, bats his hand away. Like, don't fucking touch me. And I'm like, you know, young man, you keep your fucking hands off. You do not touch another person without their consent. Where the hell is DePerna, Mr. Assistant Principal? Where is the other principal? We've never met him. Does he even exist? That's what I was thinking about today. You know, this is getting out of hand. You know, he was around for like a second when Mr. Eddie Panetti was there, which I'm sure he got expelled. But it's like when this poor girl is practically being assaulted by this kid who thinks that he can just touch her pigtails or her braids or whatever. Like, ooh, look at this, your little braids. Ah! Like, come on. Stupid kids. She ends up dropping her books. It's like, I don't know if somebody knocked them out of her hand or whether she was just in shock and they just fell. I don't know. But she looks at Kevin in sadness and confusion and says, I thought you were different. I'm sorry, Margaret, but Kevin is a coward. One afternoon spent talking in his kitchen wasn't enough to make him come around and see what an amazing person that you are. That I see you as an amazing person. After saying this, she doesn't even get her books. She doesn't even pick them up. She just turns and you hear her footsteps as she leaves, like. And there's some tall boy watching her leave. And I'm like, how the hell old is he? He looks over 6 feet tall. Is he like 18? I mean, I didn't think junior high and high school were combined. Now we see the final square dance scene in gym. I notice the girls all have on long skirts. I mean, this is new. They all had on the regular, like, PE school, assigned skirts. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what they were wearing before. This must be in its, the last day. Like, oh, you're all going to wear these long flowing skirts like people in the Ozarks did back in the day when they were all, like, And in the background, if you look, there's this cute little African-American boy. He's, like, really getting into the music. He's kind of like, yeah. Like, someone said, okay, act like you're having a lot of fun and just jiving to the music. I'm like, but it's square dancing music. You don't look like you're listening to frickin' MC Hammer or something in the background. I thought it was funny. So Kevin and Margaret, they dance the final square dance with as little interaction between each other as possible. Then we fade out the scene under the yearbook from the opening, and we hear Kevin's narration of Margaret and what became of her. She became a biology teacher. Not surprising because of her love of bats and tarantulas and all her knowledge in asking questions. She was a mother of six and a friend to bats. And there's this other Wonder Years podcast I want to plug that I was listening to that actually started before I started mine. It's called A Little Help from My Friends, a Wonder Years podcast. And it's really great. They're almost done, almost done with season three. And I wanted to listen to the square dance episode because that's what I was covering. And they really loved Margaret too, just like I did. You know, it's like they really, what's the word? I came up with a word earlier. I identified with Margaret and everything like that. But one thing that they kind of thought of that I didn't think of was, you know how they didn't have Facebook and internet back in 1969? But they're saying that, so this is supposed to be 1989, possibly, when Kevin's going through his yearbook and everything like that. So then right around that time, then Margaret will probably have to be in her early 30s. And she's a professor of biology and a mother of six. So she must have gotten started early. I mean, that's amazing. A professor. You gotta have like a PhD for that and stuff. But Yeah, and how Kevin would have even looked her up back then, because even in 1989, they didn't really have much internet to go by. You had to go by the phone book. And if she had been married, unless she took her husband's name, which she might have, I don't know. But let's admit, you know, if you guys want to even it more in-depth, podcast on the Wonder Years too, because I go in depth kind of almost scene by scene, which I want to try to slowly get away from that. But and this host of this other Wonder Years podcast, she's really good. She has guests. You know, I don't have guests. I pretty much do this by myself, which I really enjoy, kind of doing my own thing. So, but check them out. I will put that up on Instagram and Facebook, so you guys can go check that out on iTunes, or I think they're on Podbean. That's how I'm listening to it. But anyway, I wonder if Margaret, once she entered high school, if she kind of came out of her shell, maybe let her hair down, wear some makeup, maybe she came into her own in college. You know, she met a guy who appreciated her for who she was. So, the yearbook closes, and the episode fades to black. That's the end of the episode. So it's time for my Flower Power episode rating. I'm giving this episode 5 out of 5 Flower Power petals. They are all going to Margaret. I love this girl so much because, as I said, she reminds me so much of myself. That's why I was so hard on Kevin this episode, because it really hurt me to see how mean he was to her. He was a jerk to her, flat out jerk to her. He snubbed her. I've been snubbed by people. It hurts. There's a friend I had in first grade, and she moved, first and second grade, and she moved away in, at the end of second grade, and then we kind of lost contact with each other, but when I was a sophomore in high school, I was taking this agricultural class at this training center, and I don't know what school that she went to, but she had the other agricultural class taught by another teacher, but we were sharing the same room together one day. And I looked at her, I'm like, this girl, she looks so familiar, right? And I said, are you so-and-so? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm, you know, Angie Rash. And she's like, yeah, I know. And then after that, it's just kind of like, she didn't talk to me. She didn't ignore. It's almost like she snubbed me. Like, she pretended I wasn't there. And it's like, yeah, people grow out of touch with each other. That's what you do sometimes. But the fact that she just snubbed me, like, oh, you're not important enough to acknowledge. Like, that hurt. That really hurt. And that's probably another reason why I really kind of keep to myself. But anyway, enough about that. Let's get back to this Flower Power rating. 1, to Margaret Farquhar and her awesome braids, not pigtails. I mean, maybe they could be pigtails, maybe they're braids, I don't know. Get it right, Kevin. 2, her bat Mortimer, who we never got to meet, only hear from inside the box. It's like his wings were flapping and you can hear little squeaks. 3, her awesome house, which I posted a picture of on Facebook and Instagram, because I'm a weirdo that way. 4, her talent for asking so many questions. I don't know if it's really considered a talent, but it's pretty cool. 5, her calling Kevin out on his shit excuse for not wanting to be friends. All right, now onto my Wonderling words of wisdom. I love this episode. Margaret is so near and dear to my heart. I was her in a way growing up. Like I said, I didn't have a lot of friends growing up. I always had to work hard to make a new friend whenever the other one moved away, which seemed like every damn year I'd make one good friend and they would move away the following year and then I would have to make a new friend. I was so hard on Kevin this episode because being in special ed made me a prime target for being teased and picked on by regular ed students. My message is, please don't pick on someone because they're different. Try to get to know them and maybe you'll learn something new. You don't necessarily have to be friends with them or you don't have to be friends with every single person, but at least be civil and give people a chance. Let people be comfortable with being who they are. Love, don't hate. All right, who's the worst this episode? Of course I'm giving this to Kevin. Just him being an overall jerk to Margaret. He is getting the boosh. Toilet Swirly for being a dick. All right, my line of the show. The narrator at the very end of the episode, we have, in seventh grade, who you are is what other seventh graders say you are. The funny thing is, it's hard to remember the names of kids you spent so much time trying to impress. But you don't forget people like Margaret Farquaad. Professor of biology. Mother of six. Friend of bats. Alright, let's give a shout out to some new Wonderling listeners. For the last, I do want to apologize for not having this episode up last Friday. I had an incident at work, and I wound up in the emergency room, and I took Friday off from work. Or Thursday, I had an issue at work, and I ended up banging my elbow, and I banged it hard, and I think I hit a nerve, and all of a sudden, things just got really dizzy, and things felt really far away, and at first, I thought I was going to throw up and everything, and one of the higher-up people, manager-type person, was going to escort me to the bathroom, because I thought I was going to throw up. And all of a sudden, my legs started to wobble and everything, and just everything felt really far away. And another person came up on my left and was kind of helping me along too. And then all of a sudden, it's like my vision started to go spotty, and I blacked out. But they were able to get me onto the floor, so I didn't fall. And then all of a sudden, it's this like everything was just going in and out, and my head just kind of started to loll back, and it was like my speech was just like, it was just really drawn out and really, really slow. And I was able to, they were going to originally call an ambulance for me. They thought I was dehydrated. But no, it was because I hit my elbow. So they're going to call an ambulance. But like, no, I don't, because ambulances are expensive. I'm like, here, let me call my husband. And, you know, we called him. He was able to get me. And it's like, should we get checked out to the emergency room? He's like, do you want to? I'm like, if you think that I should. Because at first I was like, I'm feeling a little better. My speech was coming back. So I'm like, he's like, yeah, we probably should get you checked out. So we're walking into the emergency room. It really wasn't busy. It was for a Thursday night at 8:30 at night. It was slow, which was good. I was afraid, like, dang it, we're probably going to be here all damn night. And, you know, I'm in there, and I go up to the lady, and I'm telling her what's going on, and then all of a sudden, boom, my slow speech is back, and I'm like, it's like, I thought I'd had a stroke or something. Like, something is not right. So they're taking my blood and everything like that, and they're asking me, like, oh, are you on this, or are you on that, you know, drugs, ecstasy, like, what the hell? And then they're asking Jeremy, it's like, does she normally talk like this? I'm thinking, I'm not mentally challenged. I mean, I thought I had had a stroke or something. Like, I thought, oh my gosh, is my voice going to sound like this forever? And eventually, it's just, I lost my speech entirely, where it's just, they ended up doing a CAT scan on my head. Just didn't see, you know, if I had any damage in my brain or something. They did, you know, urinalysis and everything. And it took like a half hour. Everything came back normal. And then by then, my speech, it kind of came back and everything like that. They didn't give me fluids because I wasn't dehydrated. It was because I hit my elbow hard on my workstation. Like, I was talking to my coworker, and all of a sudden, I, like, kind of whipped around and boom. I just hit my elbow. My arm was tingly. Then I was kind of numb. And it's like I felt like this current kind of run upwards from my arm up to my shoulder and everything like that. So that's kind of how that whole started. But I took Friday off because and Jeremy took Friday off. He's like, no, you're not going into work tomorrow. So luckily everything was okay. When I got back the following Monday, people I didn't even know were coming up to me and asking, like, oh, are you okay? Are you all right? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm not saying, like, oh, she'll get hurt more often because these people are coming up to me, but it's this, like, when someone gets hurt like that, it's like, people notice, and that's when the maintenance guy was just asking me, like, hey, how are you doing better? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, yeah, because everyone was wondering what was going on. So I'm like, oh, okay. But anyway, you know, that's why I want to let you guys know. That's why I didn't. Even I told Jeremy, like, because I'm not going to be able to do the podcast tomorrow, am I? It's like, no. Don't worry about that. We need to focus on you getting better. So, that being said, I am doing a lot better. I'm going to mention later on towards the end of this episode that, yes, I am taking the month of September off. I'm taking a break from podcasting for a little bit just so I can kind of focus on other things at the moment. I'm thinking, because I'm coming back in October. I think October 1st is a Sunday, so I'm going to do that. And I think more than likely, because I want to finish up Season 3 before December. I really want to get it all out there. So I probably will be doubling up on a good chunk of the episodes. And so that way I can get those out there. And then those three Christmas episodes, because there's one from Season 2 that we didn't touch on. There's another one in Season 4, maybe? And then I thought there was one other one. So I want to get those out there in December. So that way, come January, we can start Season 4. Now, as I said before, Season 5 and 6 are going to be really dicey. What I'm going to do is when I pick and choose episodes, I'm just going to do those only those episodes that I choose to do. Which, 3 and 4 pretty much I'm doing almost all of them. There are some I am not doing. And then if I want, before I do the final two episodes of the show, which I want to do next July, I might do, like, the lost episodes, so I'll let you guys vote and decide, like, which ones. Like, I would only maybe do one or two that I hadn't done in 5 and 6. So that way I'll leave it up to you guys to vote. Also, with the Coda episode, or any of the episodes from Season 3 and 4, if I choose to skip them, all of that stuff is going to be done at the end of the show, basically, before the final two episodes of the series is done. So, but we'll worry about that when it comes to that. But, as I said, let's give a shout-out to some new Wonderlane listeners for the week, alright? We have Grand Rapids, Michigan. Now, as I said before, some of these, if I can't pronounce them, I will just say, like, the state or the country that they're from. Because I really don't want to butcher these names. So we have Grand Rapids, Michigan. We have Montreal, Canada. Overland Park, Kansas. Henderson, Montana. I think Minnesota. United Kingdom. Manchester, United Kingdom. Columbus, Ohio. Yokohama, Japan. Philippines. Albuquerque, New Mexico. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Istanbul, Turkey. Switzerland, Austin, Texas, Neenah, Wisconsin, Mount Sinai, New York, Muskegon, Michigan, Lafayette, Louisiana, St. Petersburg, Florida, Hurricane, West Virginia, that's cool, Newburyport, Massachusetts, Sydney, Australia, Butler, Missouri, Bremen, Germany, Paris, France, El Paso, Texas, Red Deer, Canada, Mexborough, United Kingdom, Reynoldsburg, Ohio, Bakersfield, California, Santa Monica, California, Stoke-on-Trent, United Kingdom. That's interesting. I like that. Kiev, K-I-E-V-E, so Kiev, Ukraine. All right. And to all you other listeners out there, thanks again for listening. I want to give a sincere thank you to all you listeners out there, whether you're listening to this podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud or any other listening platforms that you use to hear this podcast. I love giving you the episode recaps of The Wonder Years every week. Joining me as I go into full detail as we reminisce of days gone by with Kevin Arnold and his friends Paul and Winnie and the rest of the Arnold family, as well as giving my occasional running commentary and childhood stories. Which sometimes I do with the childhood stories. It just really depends on how they tie up with the episode. Like, I'm not just going to throw some random thing that has nothing to do with the episode. Because I don't want to go off on too many tangents. Because this episode is already going to be probably longer than others that I've done. Alright, to stay connected to the podcast, you can visit my many social media sites. We have the Facebook page at Looking Back on My Wonder Years podcast. or looking back on my Wonder Years of Wonder Years podcast, Instagram, LBOM Wonder Years podcast, Twitter, Wonder Years pod, which you can go there and follow there for trivia and listener questions and stuff. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, please go to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe so you won't miss an episode. Tell your friends. Also, I do trivia and listener questions each week, so if you would like a shout out on the podcast, all you got to do is answer them. All right, the next episode, the last episode I'll be covering of season 2 is season 2 episode 16, Whose Woods Are These, which aired on May 9th, 1989, where we see Kevin, Winnie, and Paul band together to save their childhood playground, Harper's Woods, from becoming a shopping mall. The only problem is, no one seems to care. I'm going to try to get out, hopefully get this out over the weekend, so we can end season 2 and I can get a jump on the big Back to School 3 episode special and the Labor Day episode, which I'm going to be having out, I believe, Labor Day is September 4th? September 4th. And then September 5th is going to be the Back to School. I know there are a lot of kids actually have already gone back to school, but I just kind of wanted to make it fully 100% official. Most kids are probably already going to be back in school, definitely by, if they're not already, they're probably going to be in school on September 5th, the day after Labor Day. As I said before, I will be taking a month-long break in September and start season 3 in October, beginning with season 3, episode 3, Wayne on Wheels, which aired on October 24th, 1989, and focuses on Wayne finally getting his driver's license, but this does not sit well with him, being he has a new job of driving Kevin and Paul around. Well, mainly Kevin, which Norma says, you know, part of that responsibility is you're going to be driving your brother around. She can't do it all the time. She's got her own stuff to be doing in the house. So like I said, I am most likely possibly going to be doubling up on episodes. I'll be working maybe on notes occasionally throughout September, so just getting stuff ready. But I think that's how I want to do it, and being that they're going to be double episodes, I'm going to try to not go scene by scene. I really got to get away from that. I'm sure you guys love it, but it's just, that's kind of what's pulling me down from doing this like that, so. Alright, okay, I already talked about the stuff that's going on for the Labor Day episode, which is Growing Up. That's season 4, episode 1. We'll be doing that Labor Day, where Kevin goes to Jack's work picnic for NORCOM. Also, September 5th, I'm doing the Back to School special with 3 Back to School episodes. Season 3, episode 2, Math Class, which Kevin starts 8th grade. Then we have season 4, episode 2, Ninth Grade Man, which Winnie's in a new school, so that's something different. And then Kevin meets a new girl who diverts his attention away from thinking of Winnie, who is, like I said, at a different school. And the final of the 3, season 5, episode 2, Day 1, which aired on October 9th, 1991. On his first day of high school, Kevin quickly realizes he's not quite the same as junior high. He was a high man on the totem pole, what I think is an exaggeration. He is followed by an annoying classmate, bullied by Wayne, and picked on by an egotistical teacher who is a fucking asshat. Alright, guys. Alright, Wonderlings, have a wonderful weekend, and I will see you probably this weekend with the final episode of season 2 that I'll be doing. Alrighty. Bye-bye. Thank you.